Good to be here this morning. I was walking to the parking lot, and I saw a little trap. It was a trap. It was a piece of a dollar bill. I was like, oh, dollar bill. And I reached for it, and it was a dud. It was only a part. And I'm sure there's a message wrapped up all in that. I mean, there's something good in there. And I'll get back to you on it. But what good is just a piece, you know? What good is just a part of something? Amen. It's not worth anything. You need the whole thing. Oh, there's a message on that. Oh, God wants the whole thing. Amen. Well, you're dismissed. I'm just kidding. That was part of my message. Well, another dilemma I ran into is that with my iPad here, I don't have an app where I can edit after I'm done, so I had to go write it on my hand here. I hope I remember at the right time. Well, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 40:3-1. We're just going to read through this real quick. It's just a couple little scriptures, and then we'll get started. But before we do, let's pray real quick. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your blessing, your anointing, your moving in this place. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds and our understanding to be able to speak your word, to know your truth and how to proceed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint, and not faint." Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I guess the title and the point of what I want to speak to you about today is before greatness. Before greatness. And I want, looking back through history, looking at all the success and the greatness, we see that we're in the lives of these great men and women of the Bible. We see all these successful things that they did. They went out and they, you know, the warriors of the faith, the Hebrews, you read about it, and all the great things they do. And that's what we remember them by. We look at all the faith that they had. We look at all the mountains that they climbed, all the cities they conquered, all the great things that they do. But we forget what happened before, what led up to it. And many of the things that they went through were things that many of us would never even want to imagine going through. So before greatness, and a lot of the things that they went through were actually what made them who they are. They couldn't have been who they were unless they went through what they went through. So I just want to kind of go through some of these things real quick and talk about it. You know all these stories. These are just Bible, Sunday school stories that you've heard since you were young. And I want to start with Noah. Noah spent a long time, over 100 years, preparing for a flood when it had never rained before. He must have looked and felt crazy. He's over there trying to do something, talking about rain, talking about stuff that has never been happened. It's never happened before. He must have felt crazy. He must have felt rejected. He must have felt really weird pursuing after something that nobody else believed. But you know what? In the end, his faith and his obedience kept him and his whole family while the rest of the world perished. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was told that he was going to be father of many nations. He was promised many things, but him and his wife couldn't even have a baby. They couldn't even have a child. Imagine what that felt like, supposedly walking in these promises of God, knowing that God's called you out for a specific reason, that he has a plan for you, but yet all the while, he doesn't even have a baby. He doesn't even have an heir. He doesn't have someone to carry on this promise, which was a key part of what God promised him. But they eventually did have a baby. Another part of that, at another level that sometimes God will bring us to, depending on what it is that God's going to do in your life. The next thing, that he, when he did have a baby, Abraham had to take that son and sacrifice that son. Imagine having to take your promised heir, the one that you thought God said, this is my promise, you said that I could have this. Imagine taking that, going through the struggle, the trial of walking your promised, your beloved child, the one whom you adore and love and know that this is the will of God, and start to question, well, what are you doing? Going up to the mountain to sacrifice. That must have been a miserable feeling. But when he got there, God provided. God made a way. He made a way. And of course, we know the rest, that Abraham and Sarah, their lives changed, and Isaac was that heir. The next, we talk about Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. He started off, and it sounded a little rough, and he tricked his brother into the birthright. You know the story. He had to flee for his life. He had to work for 7 years for a woman that he loved, got tricked. Same kind of thing happened to him, and he had to work 7 more years. And he went through some stuff. It didn't look very promising, but he ended up being known as Israel and was the father of the 12 tribes. And the promise continued through him. He went through some things. I'm sure growing up, these people didn't even imagine that they were going to be doing what they ultimately did. I'm sure as they were young, they probably never imagined that they were going to reach that point. They were going to be known as the father. They were going to be known as the greats, the fathers of the faith. Joseph. Joseph is a story that we all have heard. But imagine what that was like for him. Being raised up, having great visions and dreams and expectations, and thinking he's going to do all of this, but being rejected by his brothers who really wanted to kill him. Imagine how that felt, to be rejected, to be sold into slavery, to be a servant for years, to be betrayed again, to be thrown into prison for years. But God had a plan throughout all of that, and he brought him out. He became second in command of Egypt. He saved a nation from famine, and he ultimately was able to reunite his family and save the heritage, and the will of God continued on in their family. What looked like a horrible mess throughout his life ended up being a great blessing. It ended up being exactly in the will of God. David was his anointed king. He was told that he was going to be king. He had all these things. He already demonstrated the power of God in his life. He slayed a giant. He slayed a lion. He did all these awesome things. But yet all the while, he had to run from King Saul for his life. He was promised some things that God said that he could have, but yet he ran around and he was trying to survive. But eventually, we know the story. As king, he committed adultery and murder, and he did all of these messed up things. But he went through some trials after that. God had a way of getting his attention, and eventually he became known as the man after God's own heart. Imagine the story. We think of all these great things that they did, but we don't realize and we don't step back and look at all the mess that they had to crawl through to get to where they were at. Job, the story of Job, one of what they think is maybe the oldest book, and what they think maybe took place not very long after the flood. This story is one of the stories that everyone compares to when you're going through a hard time and you think you have it bad. Think about Job, lost everything. Job lost everything. He was known, some suspect that he might have been like a king in that time. Whatever it was, he was very wealthy and very rich. He lost all that he had. He lost his health, his house, his land, his animals, his kids. He lost everything. But he kept his faith in God. And he regained twice as much as he had and got his family back. God used that for a reason. He went through it. Moses, he was raised in Egypt as a prince. He went through some stuff. He was adopted but then rejected. He was banished away. But then around the age of 80, God called him to go back to Egypt. And he led the children of Israel to the promised land. He was able to see all of this. Now, imagine this man being raised. How confusing is that? Being raised as a prince and then finding out some things and then being kicked out and then going here. Imagine how it felt. It was 40, like, I don't know, around 40 years old or something when he went to, when he was banished from Egypt. But then around 80 years old at the end, you know, at that time, I'm all washed up. I'm kind of getting a little old, but God still used him and changed the whole world because of that. God still used him. We move on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fire for bowing down before other gods. Imagine that. Imagine getting thrown in a fire. Imagine what that felt to being just, all you're doing is being obedient to God. You're not going to bow to other gods, and you got thrown in the fire before it. A hot fire. And a very hot fire where people died trying to throw them in the fire. But God delivered them, and he affected the course of a nation, causing people to believe in their God because of their obedience. Jonah, and I'm almost done here sharing my examples. Jonah, he ran from God, and he was thrown, eventually, it caught up with him. He was thrown overboard into the ocean, and he was swallowed by a whale. And he later, because of that, he went through some times. Imagine the trial of being in the belly of a whale. Imagine the thought about your life being in that belly. And then eventually he was split up and he went out and he did the will of God and a whole city was saved. Mary, of course, Mary looked like she did some things that she wasn't supposed to do. Ultimately, she was the mother of Jesus. And imagine what she went through, but it was a great thing. God used that. Now, let me just share something. I said all these, just kind of jogged some things down. Now, think about it. All these people went through some pretty horrible things, some crazy things, some battles, some temptations, some struggles, some, you know, things that they never thought that they would have to go through. And it looked horrible. Now, I just wanted to mention something. Diamonds, does anyone know how a diamond is created? A diamond, you don't have to answer that, is created with pressure. Before a diamond is made, it has to go through immense pressure and heat for a long time. But the end product is breathtaking, and it's a real work of beauty. So that pressure and that heat over an extended period of time can create something beautiful. Something that's impenetrable, something that is it's so hard, it's so solid, and that's something that God does to each one of us in our struggle before greatness, before you get to that place that you're going, before on this road of life, you might go through some pressure, you might go through some heat, it might take a little while. But do you not think that God doesn't know what he's doing? Imagine that. If you only knew what God knows about you, your feeling in the moment might change. If you could see, if Moses knew what he was going to go through, I think his attitude would be a little different. If David knew exactly how it was going to end, if these people, these great men and women of God, if they knew what they were going through, I'm sure things would have changed. But they didn't know. And they went through it. They were obedient. They continued on. They weren't perfect. Man, that's one thing that I learned is that these Bible characters were not perfect. Which, honestly, to me, it brings some peace to know that I don't have to be a hovering saint that's just perfect. Because God has a way of using our imperfections, our mess, our battles, our problems for his glory, to change the nations, to affect the world for his kingdom. It can be said that we are a product of our past or what we're going through right now. The problems that you face today may actually be preparing you for the future. The things that you are going through right now might actually be something that God is doing specifically for where he's taking you. God may be teaching you character. Now, here's the thing. We pray these prayers, but sometimes those prayers come with a price, not because they're a bad thing, but because God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly how to prepare you. He knows exactly how to get you where you need to go. God may be teaching you to hear or follow his voice. You might keep getting knocked down and brought to different places because maybe he's trying to get, listen to me. You're going over here. No, I didn't say to go there. No, don't. I told you not. I want you to hear my voice. You're struggling with some things, but I'm actually working this out. I'm actually showing you some things. I'm actually speaking to you through this situation. Just listen to my voice. He could be speaking to you. He could be training you to hear his voice. He may be working on your faith. These trials that you go through, what he might be trying to do to you, what he might be trying to do through you. Maybe he's working on your faith. Maybe he's teaching you to trust in him. Maybe he's teaching you that no matter what, he's gonna bring you out. He's going to bring you through. The hardships that you endure may actually be the answer to your prayer. Now, we know that his ways are above our ways. We read and we wonder and we pray. You know, we want God's direction. We want his help. But sometimes his answers are not the most, they don't carry the best feeling. They don't follow our train of thought. Sometimes we pray to be a diamond, but that might require a little pressure, a little heat, a little time. We want to be that diamond. We want to go and do great things. You pray that prayer all the time, God, use me. God, I want to do exactly what you want me to do. God, I want to go to these places and I want to do all this awesome stuff and I want to be used by you. And God said, okay, I will do it. That's what we're going to do. Now, this is what's going to happen. See, but he doesn't tell you that part. He doesn't tell you that part, but it's okay because he knows exactly what he's doing. And if you just keep trusting in him and you just keep walking and being obedient, because that prayer doesn't go away. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly how he's setting this up. So we pray these prayers. Here's the thing. If you knew that, do you think you'd pray it? You're not supposed to know it. You let God be God, right? That's something that I got to work on. I got to let God do what because his ultimate goal for us is better than we can imagine. It's perfect. Should we not pray for these things then? If we knew that we're going to go through this. Well, I don't think we should think like that. We don't know God's methods. Sometimes it's controversial in our understanding, in our plane of sight. We only see to the end of the road. We don't see what's around the corner. God does. His methods are perfect. He knows exactly what you need to go through to do exactly what he wants you to do, to be exactly where you want to be. It's perfect. God is amazing at strategery. He's so good at this. He's so good at making you and putting you at the right place at the right time. Did you know he actually knew who you were before he even created you? His plans for you are perfect. His understanding of what you're capable of doing is right on. So when we sit there and we argue with God and we try to, oh, no, what is this and that? Listen, you're arguing. He knows what he's doing. You just know that you keep doing his will. You keep staying faithful and keep following in his footsteps. You're going to be exactly where he wants you to be. You're going to get to that. You're going to be that diamond. So we don't know his methods, but we know his will towards us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." His ways are perfect. His understanding of the situation is perfect. All of the trials that these great men and women went through, all of the struggles that they endured made them exactly who they had to be. It made them and prepared them and created them to be the men and women that God wanted them to be. Inside of this, and knowing that we need to be obedient. We need to be patient and watch God provide. We go through these trials and these situations for a reason. And I know that that's hard because when you're in this storm, it's scary. All you see is the clouds and the thunder and the lightning. You don't see that there's the blue sky. I mention this probably all the time. But it's true because when you're in the storm, it's scary. You don't really know what God's doing. But before greatness, you're going to go through this trial, and that's okay. You're on the right path. This is life, and you're going to do it. The difference is if you give up. You cannot give up. You must continue on. It is the will of God for your life. All things will work together for good to them that love God. You will make it through this. The reason I say that is because there's some things that specifically, maybe I didn't mention, that you're thinking in your life right now that, well, he doesn't know about this, or maybe he didn't touch on this particular thing in my life. But I want you to know that right there in your life right now, whatever that thought is that's coming to your mind, I want you to know that God is addressing that. What that fear is that you know that's holding you back and destroying you and trying to wreck your life and trying to provoke you to fear, that's not of God. He is going to use you. He's going to use your storm. I want you to think about where you're at right now. And I want you to think about how hard it is to be who you are and how overwhelming it is to make it and how much you might want to give up. But I want you to know that God wants you to keep moving, not give up. To keep on putting it in his hands, to keep on trusting him, to keep being obedient to his will and his word, to keep praying and to keep seeking his face. Because when it seems like, and you read through these storms, or these battles in history, you can see examples of people who gave in. I mean, and they were already there and they gave up. Judas was a disciple. Judas, imagine what would have happened. Imagine what would happen if he just went back. What if he just apologized? What if he just continued on? That's a big mess up, of course. That's horrible. But it was the will of God. Do you think that Jesus wouldn't have forgave him? What about when we read Saul? When he went and he could have waited. All he had to do was wait a little bit longer. But he sacrificed. And he did something, and he didn't wait. Samuel said, obedience is greater than sacrifice. If he would have just kept enduring, if he would have continued to seek the will of God instead of reacting because of his life circumstances, instead of trying to please men and trying to work it out for his own self, trying to put his own understanding into it and trying to make it happen himself. If he would have just stayed in there, continued to seek after the will of God, continued to pray and to hang in there. So many times in our life, we just give into this feeling of defeat and hurt and it's over. And we let that dictate, we let that determine our life. But it doesn't matter if everything in your life, if your arm falls off, if God's will for you is still the same. He loves you. He wants you to succeed. Sometimes we think that, God wants me to die and all. No. We just read, it's not evil things that he thinks towards you. Now, there might be some things that you go through, but he loves you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have life more abundantly. But you got to keep going in his will. You got to hold the course. You got to steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have to hang in. We can't give up. Because this is how we make it. You just keep walking. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my path. You don't know where to go. Well, he's got the answers. It's a different when we understand that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He gives direction. He guides you. And you don't know where to go. You just continue to search his word. You continue to read, and he will open the doors. You will know exactly where to go when you just keep praying and reading. Keep searching after him, and he will open that door. Now, the battle and the struggle, when we go through it, you just got to keep in mind and know that God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where he's taking you. You must first go up the mountain before you get to the mountaintop. That's a journey, right? We want the mountaintop experience. We want to just, oh, when I felt God the most. It's, you know, that's great, but sometimes there's a lot of climbing that we got to do. And then sometimes we get in the valley, and that's, you're even further down. You got to climb all the way up. It involves effort. It involves a struggle. But that struggle is going to make you who you are. God's lessons, the way that God teaches us, is so beyond our understanding. I want this. I want to learn how to be patient. Okay. Well, then here you go. You know? Does that mean we should stop praying for certain things? Does that mean? No, no, no. God is going to use that gift that he's given you. He is going to use that horrible experience to make you the person that you're going to be for his kingdom. That mess that you are making it through, God is going to use that for his glory. He's all in that. He's about that kind of business. And he's about letting you know that he's going to be there for you. Just keep on going. Stay obedient. Continue in the word. Continue moving forward with him. Don't give up. Keep on doing what you know is right, and he'll bring you through it. Now, at this time, actually, I'm going to take a couple moments. If we could just stand, and I want you to think about these in your life. Purposefully analyze your life, and we're just going to pray for a little bit, and then we'll be dismissed. I want you to think about right now, are you perfect? Do you have everything that you need right now? Because if you do, then maybe this prayer isn't for you. And you can just watch the rest of us. But if there's some things in your life that are just really bothering you, really, you might be going through a hardship and a situation that is just defeating you, I want us to pray about it. And we're going to pray, God, I give this to you, and I thank you for your perfect will. And Lord, I lift this to you, this situation, I put it in your hands, because I know that your way is above my way. Lord, you know how to make me endure. Lord, you know how to get my attention. Why don't we just lift our voice to him right now? God, right now, you know exactly what it is that I need to hear. You know exactly what it looks like, the end from the beginning. And this predicament, this problem, this situation that I'm going through, Lord, I can do nothing but just trust in you, Jesus. I know your ways are above my ways. I know that your will for me is perfect. God, you know what I need, and I cannot do it without you. I put this in your hands, Jesus. I lift these situations to you. Lord, I know that you're in it. I'm going to keep moving forward with you, Jesus. I trust in you, Lord. I believe that your plan for me is greater than I know. I'm not going to let this hold me back. In fact, there is something inside of me. There is a faith that is being raised up inside of me to know that I can make it. You have shown me some things. You have allowed me to go through some things. And I thank you for the faith that you're increasing in my life. Because I will make it. I felt your presence before. I will feel your presence again. I will make it through this because your word says it. I will endure. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Why don't we give them a hand clap of praise? God, we worship you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we claim these victories in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch my mind. Help me to know, instead of I'm going down, to know that, Lord, I'm going up with you. I'm going to make it, Lord. We are on our way. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This is probably my record earliest time. I apologize, but that's all I got for you. I want you to go around and encourage somebody. Someone next to you, I want you to tell them that God is in it. He knows where you're at. I welcome him. God bless you.